So, Father God, we give you praise this morning. We give you glory. We give you honor. We magnify your name, for there is none like you, none with whom to compare you. You are God all by yourself, and I feel your presence right now. You are here in this room. You are here in this virtual space. Lord, for in truth, there is no time or space with you. You are everywhere all the time. But we ask, God, that you would manifest your presence to us right now. God, that you would take us up into where you are, that we would come into the secret place of the Most High. Oh, Lord, that we would come up into that place where revelation flows, where we can sense the move of your Spirit. And Father God, we pray for those who are watching right now, those who are watching by replay, those, God, who may hear this weeks later. We pray, God, that you would touch them right where they need touching today. Father, we lift Sister Chris Ann Coker to you, and we pray, God, touch her body. Lord, do what only you can do. Bring healing, bring wholeness throughout every limb, every joint, every organ system, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray your blessing, God, upon the many who are still struggling right now with COVID-19. Oh, God, not just here in Springfield, but around the world. Father, have your way in this place called 2020, this time, Lord. Do what you intended to do from the beginning. God, you're not surprised by anything going on. You're not surprised by COVID. You're not surprised by the unfortunate murder of yet another black man at the hands of police. Tragic, but not surprising to you. And Lord, even in that situation and in the aftermath of it and in the protests, I pray, God, that you would stand up, that your people would stand up, that it not just be government types responding or police chiefs, but that your people would stand up and be the sons and daughters of God that they really are. Now, God, I pray your blessing upon this word. I pray, Father, that you would let your anointing flow. We're already anointed, but I pray, God, you'd let the anointing flow. I pray, God, that we would open up the word in clarity and in truth, that it might transform our lives, that it might give us the direction that we need for this moment. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, I would be remiss if I did not say a word about us at Deliverance. God, we've gone through some things like other churches, but here we are. We thank you for the opportunities you have made available to us to continue to teach your word and to fellowship. But God, we pray, God, you'd bring this thing to an end, this pandemic. Let us return to the house of the Lord, God, for we long to be in your courts. And Father, I pray, God, your blessing upon the angel of this house, our beloved Bishop David Knox, and our First Lady Bobby Knox. Strengthen them, give them insight, vision, clarity, and understanding. Now, God, we'll be careful to give you the praise of which you alone are worthy. With that, we say amen and amen and amen. So good morning to you once again. Good morning, Sister Nikki. Good to see you. I'm glad for all of you that are here on the line today. And there is a word from the Lord. I don't know exactly where all it's going to go, but it's going to be good, I trust, because I know I've heard from him, right? And so we're going to be looking this month at least for the next couple of weeks for sure, maybe the whole time, into the Old Testament. As I have said many times, we are New Covenant Christians. We are New Covenant believers, but we are whole Bible believers as well. And so, you know, just because you're on this side of the cross doesn't mean that there's nothing for you in the Old Testament. We're not under the Old Covenant. We're under the New Covenant. Hallelujah. But we do know that the Old Covenant is also part of the revelation of God to us. And as Paul tells us in the New Testament, that the Old is written for our example. We find examples there, both examples of what to do and examples of what not to do. All right? And so in looking at the Old, as Bishop tells us, the New is in the Old concealed. The Old is in the New revealed. And so the revelation of God in human history, of course, is consummated in the incarnation of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus is the high point of all human history, for real. And so when we're looking back in the Old Testament, we're looking back for examples. We're looking back for patterns. We're looking back for things that God has already told us that may hold for us some new revelation in the light of where we are now. I hope that's clear. So we want to look this morning to a book, a prophetic book, one of the 12 minor prophets, if you will. Good morning, Sister Regina. We're going to look at some of the, maybe a couple of the minor prophets. And we're going to begin with the book of Haggai. Haggai. Now, some of you say, Haggai, is that even in the Bible? Is that who? Haggai. H-A-G-G-A-I. Haggai. If you get confused, just go to your table of contents at the front and you'll find it there. Right between Zephaniah and Zechariah is Haggai. It is a brief book. Only a couple of chapters long, but it is powerful. And it is one that is, I think, exemplary in many ways of what is going on now and where we're going. Because I want you to understand that God is not just interested in where you are right now, but where you are going. Yes, ma'am, Apostle Chamberlain did mention Haggai yesterday, and you left the A out of that, by the way, sis. but we are, good morning, Pastor Gwen. We're going to look at that. We may look at the follow-up to that, if you will, as well, which is Zechariah. And who knows, we might even get into Malachi a little bit. The three of them kind of play off of each other. But let me give you just a little quick background. This is introduction kind of morning, so if it's a little dry, just get you some water. You thought I was going to apologize right there. I'm not going to do that. No, this is the word of the Lord. This is where we're at. This is what he's saying. So, you know, grab hold. At any rate, that's all right, sis. A little background. The children of Israel, the people of God, let me say more broadly, had gone into captivity. It had been prophesied by Jeremiah that they would go into captivity. Some of y'all familiar with Jeremiah 29 and 11. I know the plans I have for you, you know, plans, you know, for your well-being, to give you a future and a hope. It's going to be good. It's going to be great. Hallelujah. We thank God for Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. But some of you don't know 29:10, where he says, you're getting ready to go into bondage. You're getting ready to go into captivity for 70 years. No, not for a week, not for a weekend, for 70 years. Then he follows up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that bit of hope. He follows up then with verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you. There is a plan at work. Though things are bad and going to get worse, he tells them, you're getting ready to go down into bondage. Things will turn around. Things will get better. Can I say to you, America, that some of us have really been through some things. Some of us have been through some things for generations. But I believe that the turnaround is coming. I believe that God is making a shift in things. In fact, I know that he is, and that shift is in order to bring forth his kingdom. So let me be real clear. Although some folk who've been down a long time are going to get up, it's really his intention to bring everybody up. Yeah, just let that sit out there for a second. So I want to come this morning not with a message of doom and gloom, but one of hope. I want to help you understand that God intends to take us back to the future. Yeah, back to the future. Back to the future. And so we find that the people of God here in Haggai have just returned basically from this captivity. They came back in two layers, you know, basically. The first one being in 538 BC and the second one about 444 BC. The first one involving folks like Haggai here and Joshua the high priest, Zerubbabel, who was the governmental leader. We're going to get into that in just a minute, because I'm going to tell you, let me give you a sneak peek and tell you that God intends to do some things. I'm very excited right now. I'm trying to hold up a little bit. God intends to do some things that involve the church and the government. Because what's happening is bigger than church or government. It's kingdom. And so as citizens of the kingdom, it would be wise for us to understand what it is that he's doing so that we can properly participate in this new era of the kingdom. Some have called it, as my friend Tina Moore says, this whole pandemic situation has been a global reset. A global reset. Because not just one country, not just one area, not just one region, but the whole world has been on pause, has been on shutdown, has been on lockdown, some literally. And God is giving us an opportunity to reset, to realign. As Minister Rogers said, to reimagine. Your old vision won't work for this time. Lord, have mercy. Your old vision won't work for this time. Your old thinking won't work for this time. The old pictures on your vision board need to come down. In fact, you probably need to make a whole new vision board because that one's done. It's time to reimagine. It's time to realign. It's time to reset. And so the people of God were actually returning. That's the back part. They were actually returning home. They were actually returning to Judah. Some of them, though, now get this, because they've been over there a minute. Some of them, the younger ones in particular, many of them, had never been there before, ever. They weren't born there. They were born in Babylon. There's so much there. We'll get into it, but I'm just giving a little preview right now. They were born in Babylon. They ain't know nothing about. Yeah, I know. That's not good English, right? They ain't know nothing about Judah. And they sure didn't know anything about what God had in mind for them, what God had planned for their future. But they were going back to the future. I believe that God is sending a word to us at Deliverance Temple, really to the whole church, but I'm talking to us, that it is time to go back to the future. Now, be very careful that you hear what I'm saying. Minister Rogers says she do hear me. That's good. I want you to understand that that's not going back to the way it was. Somebody asked, I think Brother Spilker asked, when, or maybe it was, Jim Hearn, Brother Jim Hearn asked, when are we going back? When are we going to have services again at Deliverance Temple? When are we going back? Soon, I hope, working on that. But in the meantime, I need you to understand that when we do go back, we're not going back to the past. When we do go back, we're not going back to status quo. When we do go back, we're not going back to the way things were. When we do go back, we're not going back to just life as usual. Let's pick up where we left off. No, I want you to understand. I need you to understand that when we go back, we're going back to the future because that's what he's doing. Now, that's what he's doing now. And so he sends this word through the prophet Haggai to us here in 2021. Yeah, how about that? 2,500 years ago, somebody said, I need a fresh word. Well, this is going to be a fresh word, but it's 2,500 years ago that it was written, okay? So take that to the bank. No, ma'am, we're not going back to the past. We're going back to the future. So let me just begin to read a little bit here this morning. I do want to get into the text at least, right? So hopefully you found it. If you have your Bibles handy, your tablets, your cell phones, your iPads, whatever you use to access the Word of God, we're going to the prophet Haggai. Let me get my little helpers on here. Do I look smarter? I hope so. Anyway, verse 1 of chapter 1, this is the prophet Haggai, reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Let me stop right there and tell you that here the word of the Lord is being sent through Haggai to the governor, there's the political side, and as well to Joshua, the high priest. that the church is. And although we have this church-state separation thing here in America, and that's good in many ways, I want you to understand that where we're going is kingdom. God intends to establish his kingdom in the earth. The kingdom, Phil Keaggy, Christian songwriter and singer Phil Keaggy, way back in the day, man, this is like maybe the 70s that he came out with this song. And he said, there's a kingdom emerging. And to me, that's very encouraging. And I love that because even here now, many years later, the kingdom is emerging. The kingdom is emerging. Thank you, Sister Hale. The kingdom is emerging. And we ought to be encouraged about that. The kingdom is bigger than church. The kingdom is bigger than government. The kingdom encompasses all the areas of activity that human beings are involved in. So whether you're talking media or finance, the arts, whatever, education, healthcare, God intends to do a whole work among mankind. Because Jesus did a whole work. And the finished work of Jesus is a whole work and a complete work. There's nothing to be added to it, but we now have the privilege of walking it out. We now have the privilege of following the day-by-day instructions of Holy Spirit as he reveals what that all entails, what the resurrection of Jesus and the finished work of Christ entail for us. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard what he's got prepared for us. He is very intentional about revealing through his people what the kingdom is to be about, what the kingdom should look like. Now listen, we had, of course, the greatest example ever in Jesus himself. But Jesus said to his disciples, and we are his disciples, amen, that these works and greater, I've shown you the model, I've given you the pattern. Boy, I'm preaching better than y'all reacting right now, but somebody will get it. I've given you the model. I've laid the pattern out for you of what kingdom looks like, of what love looks like, what the Father looks like, up close and personal. And in following that pattern, as Holy Spirit gives us revelation and insight and direction, we are to expand the kingdom of God. The Old Testament prophet tells us that there's coming a time when the knowledge of the glory of God, that is to say, the way he sees things, and he sees things in kingdom, the knowledge of the glory of God is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. I don't know if you've ever been to the sea, but that water everywhere. Water everywhere. I can remember on our 10th anniversary, my wife and I flying to the Dominican Republic. And it was the first time that I had been out over water where you couldn't see land anywhere. As far as you looked in any direction, there was only water. And the knowledge of the glory of God is going to cover the earth like that. How's that going to happen? Through us. Through us, through his people, he is instructing us. He's already empowered us by Holy Spirit inside. He's instructing us now as to how to walk this thing out, because he is establishing this emerging kingdom. Here, let me tell you this real quick too. Oh my God, I'm trying to get to the scripture. Can I tell you this? I'm going to. It won't come necessarily the way you thought it was going to come. Some have asked, and I get this, some have asked, why is everybody all upset now behind the murder of Mr. Floyd? Why didn't they get this upset when King was here? Why didn't they get this upset when Malcolm was here? Why didn't they get this upset before? Because it's time now. And it's coming in a way that you didn't expect. We've reached a tipping point. And God is about to unveil His glory in the earth in ways that you didn't expect, in ways you didn't see coming. And can I say this? You know I'm going to. Through people that you may not have expected it to come through. I'm looking for Bishop Know-It-All to come with it. Or I'm looking for a president to come with it. You're going to be waiting a minute on that one, baby. But I'm waiting on some high-powered, well-known somebody to bring this thing, to shift this thing, to get us moving in the right direction. But God said, I know what I'm doing and I know how to do it. Yeah, that part. Oh, bless God. So, the people of God been in captivity for years in Babylon. And the Lord moves upon the rulers there to let them go, let them go back home. But understand, they're not going back home to the way things were. I can't stress that enough. They're not going back to the way things were. They're going back to the future, back to a future they, in some respects, weren't ready for. Now, some of them, I'm going to tell you, when they got to Jerusalem, and Massa wasn't, you know, over them every minute of every day, they thought they'd hit the lotto, man. And, you know, sometimes when something like that comes down, it's kind of all about me. It's all about me. I'm doing great. Praise God. I'm not a slave anymore. Hallelujah. Life is good. But there's kingdom work to do. It's not just about you. I want you to understand that as we emerge, and we will emerge, and I believe it's coming soon, as we will emerge in 2020 from this pandemic, and as we move forward to see what all becomes of the angst and energy right now that is focused on social justice. As we move forward into all of that, I want you to understand very clearly that there is work to be done. Now, don't get scared, because it's God in you working both the will and the do. The will, and as Minister Rogers says, the how-to. And it's Him who is empowering you. Listen, I want you to be ready for the unexpected. I want you to be ready for the unusual and the uncommon, because that's what time it is. And I want you not to be so focused, even when things get better, and you're back at your job or whatever is going on in your life that has some sense of normalcy to it. When you get back to that, I don't want you to get stuck on, oh, okay, I'm good now. I'm golden. Meat prices have come back down. I'm going to put a steak on the barbie. Life's great. It's all about me. Because it's a whole lot bigger than you. There's a whole lot going on right now. This is a pivotal time. Can I say that? It's a pivotal time in the life of God's people. Let me say it that way because I don't want to get confused or confuse you with thinking this is just about church per se, just about 2 hours on Sunday morning. And we can clap our hands and say, "Ooh, yes, it was great. The Holy Spirit visited us." Visited? Don't he live inside you? Isn't he your companion and confidant and empowering presence 24/7? He should be. He wants to be. I want to go back to the building as bad as anybody, believe me. Love to see your smiling faces. Yeah. Because you've got to see mine, you know, for weeks now, but you want to see each other. But I want you to understand that we're not going back to business as usual. Do I know exactly what it's going to look like? Nope. You're right. You're right, Sister Chris. It's about God's glory. And God's glory is not just his splendor and majesty. God's glory is his view of things. It's his reality. He wants us to experience his reality, his view. He wants us to duplicate the picture he's got in his mind of what kingdom should look like, what our lives should look like. He's already got a clear vision of it. We need to catch that vision now and move forward with it with all deliberate speed, knowing that the empowering presence of Holy Spirit himself is what is going to make it possible for us to turn things back. Let me remind you. I'm going to get to the scripture, Pastor. Let me remind you that on December 31, 2019, God gave me the privilege of sharing with about 10 congregations gathered there for Watch Night service that the year 2020 would be a year of at least three things that he shared with me. One, that it would indeed be a year of 2020 vision, of clarity. Ooh, Lord, I'm trying not to get stuck right here. But the clarity is coming in ways we didn't expect. No one knew that the pandemic was coming and that people's priorities would shift and that they'd start to get a clue about what's really important. And that it wasn't necessarily movie stars and, quarterbacks. That's nice, but you got COVID. You don't need a movie star or a quarterback. You need a nurse and a doctor. You need a paramedic. You need a fireman. You need somebody that knows how to get you where some help is. And so we started looking at heroes a little differently. We're like, wait a minute, I'm getting clear on the fact that my heroes are not necessarily the ones that I thought they were. That's right, Sister Beth, game over. Shut down basketball, baseball, football, all that shut down, game over. And people have begun to get clarity on what family means, begun to get clarity on what the saints of God mean. Even folk in the church were like, man, I didn't even know how much I miss y'all, how much I love y'all, how much I need y'all, until this thing hit. While we're still reeling from all of that, here comes the brutal murder of George Floyd. And an awakening, not only here in America, but around the world. An awakening and a reimagining, thank you, Minister, of what justice looks like. Now, listen, the prophets in the Old Testament, my God, they're all about justice and righteousness. That message has not changed. The kingdom of God is about justice and righteousness. But guess what? Here again, we didn't know that clarity about these things would come through such a brutal example, that it would take something like that to tip the scales finally. King been talking about it forever. They killed him. Malcolm taking a different approach, but very much a message about justice. But here we are in 2020, in the midst of a pandemic, no less, on lockdown, and we have an in-your-face, literally in-your-face, wake-up call, a shaking, that to the core of us, some more than others, has caused us to gain new clarity. The cataracts are gone. You got 20/20 vision now, Deacon. You can see clearly now. The rain is gone. So, yes, God intends to make this year one of clarity. By the way, y'all, understand we're in the 6th month. By the time we finish this one, we will have just gone through half of 2020. So for all y'all talking about, ooh, I wish 2020 would just be over. I just want to forget 2020 altogether. I just want to wipe that out of my, just let's skip on to 21. No, ma'am, no, sir. Number one, not going to happen. Number two, I want everything God intends to give me in 2020. I want the clarity that he wants to give me in 2020. The second thing he told me on New Year's Eve of 19 was that he was going to make 2020 a year of the unprecedented. That's just a Selah moment. That's a POP pause on purpose. Because I know you have heard, I have heard, almost every single day, that word. Unprecedented. Now listen, we've seen the unprecedented in very negative ways, but God has another side to that coin that he's about to unveil to us. And that is the unprecedented ways in which he is going to bring forth kingdom, unprecedented ways in which he is going to manifest his glory, unprecedented ways that he is going to move on behalf of and through his people to touch an entire world. The unprecedented. That's what time it is. And then lastly, he told me to share with the people that God was going to give us in 2020 a new relationship with time. Can I say that that has happened, is happening? If somebody had told you, yeah, we're just going to sit home from church, not because we're lazy or want to watch sports, because there's no sports on, But we're going to be home because we're told to stay home from church for 12 weeks. You wouldn't have believed it. If you were told that that many of the experiences that you're having time-wise right now would be the case, you'd be like, no, that's not that. What? That's not how that works. 1 second goes into 1 minute, 1 minute goes into 1 hour, 1 hour goes into 1 day, 1 day goes into a week goes into a month. That's how this thing works. I've got a calendar right here. Can I say your calendar means nothing? Nothing. Can I say that the only time it is time to hear the Spirit of God, time to move in step with the Spirit of God? That's what time it is. It's a revolution, minister. It's a revolution. It's revolutionary to shift things the way he's doing. It's revolutionary to see the kinds of experiences that the whole world's having with COVID and now with the focus, refocus. There's that clarity. There's that 2020 vision. The refocus on social justice. And in the context of time meaning almost nothing, it's like people have been, it's like, have you caught yourself sometimes saying, oh, this is what, no, this is not Wednesday, is it? Wednesday, is it? Wait a minute, what day is this? Because the fluidity of time has come to manifestation in your life. You don't even know what time it is. I'm telling you, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to call on him while he's near. It's time to forsake unrighteousness. In your life, in your house, in your neighborhood, in your city, in your country, it's time to forsake unrighteousness. It's time to realign with kingdom, with what he wants to do now. So let me, in the last 5 minutes I got, how come y'all ain't stopped me for now? In the last 5 minutes I got, I want to read a little more of Haggai. Like I said, Haggai, maybe a bit of Zechariah, we're going to get into. These two books really go together over these next several weeks, right? Okay. So they get back, verse 2, chapter 1, Haggai. Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. How you gonna tell God what time it is? Really? I know you've never done that, right? But yeah. How are you going to tell God what time it is? It's not time for that, Lord. It's not time for that. We'll do that later. Right now, I got to take care of me. Do you not know there's a pandemic going on, God? Do you not know that there's injustice in the world? Really? So it's not time for... I've got to take care of me. Yeah. Some of us do it all the time, right, minister? We tell God what time it is and what time it isn't. Verse 3, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while the house... this house, that's God's house, God's temple, lies desolate. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Let me tell you that one of the words that stands out to me in this two-chapter book, this short I could barely call it a book. It's just two chapters. But throughout both of them, you hear repeatedly the Lord say, consider, consider your ways, consider. It's time to go back to the future, not back to the past. Consider what you're doing now. Consider if you're stuck in a routine. Consider if you're just doing the same old, same old. Consider if you're even longing for the same old, same old, because you've been forced into something different here now. I just wish things were the way they were. Bite your tongue. Revolution. We're not doing the same old, same old. We're not doing the same old, same old. And this revolution will be televised, Gil. This revolution will be televised. Verse number 5. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one's warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes in it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, once again, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. We're going to have to stop there. It's getting good. And we're going to work our way through this a little more expeditiously, perhaps next week. But I want y'all to understand this. God is taking us back to the future. He is taking us to the fuller expression and manifestation of kingdom, not just church. And the kingdom that is going to be expressed and manifest through us will impact not just church, but government and every other area of human affairs. That's what time it is. God, can I say, I ain't trying to speak. Yeah, maybe I am trying to speak for him. He's tired of some of this. Yeah, that's a good place to close right here, right? He is tired. If God can get tired, whatever that looks like, he's tired of business as usual. 2,000 years later, and we are still not walking in the kingdom that Jesus has made fully possible for us. But it's time to do that. You want to see signs? You want to see wonders? You want to see miracles? It's time. It's time for that. Now I got to close this. I got to close. But I want you to know that we're going to be back next week with more of this. I'm excited about it. I'm excited not only about this word, but I want you to understand that this is preparation time. He's giving us a little more time here. I don't know exactly when we'll be back in the building, but he's giving us a little more time here. This is preparation. I want you to take this as preparation. I want you to consider your ways. I want you this week to get with Holy Spirit and say, God, help me to consider my ways. Help me where I'm stuck. Help me where I'm just pining away for leeks and garlics, man, of the slavery life. Some of you Bible scholars got that reference. I don't want to do the same old, same old. God, I want to go back to the future. Prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, ready for what's coming, ready to be what's coming. Jesus, that's good. All right. So I love you guys. I really, 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 really appreciate you being on today. Hope you got something out of this. Please come back for the whole series. Because we're going back to the future. Amen? Amen.